Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm bringing you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Rebecca Sharp. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Rebecca Sharp always loved a good love story. Let's face it, when you include a romance novel in your eighth grade summer reading list just to see if the teacher would notice, she didn't. She was bound to give writing one of her own a go. There's really no corner of romance she doesn't or wouldn't enjoy writing, except maybe aliens, much to her husband's dismay. So her large catalog features a little something for everyone. However, her love of shows like NCIS and Criminal Minds make her favorite stories to write the ones with some kind of suspense and crime solving. When she's not writing, she's at her office treating patients. And somewhere between those two things, you'll find her wandering the globe with her husband always searching for their next adventure. Well, before we talk The Vow, which is your newest book, I'm going to ask you all the questions.
Yes.
So clearly you've been a romance reader for life.
Yes.
What was your like gateway romance book, or do you not remember? Because I was, my mom was a Harlequin box person, so I don't know specific books, but I know like I've been reading them forever.
I also don't know specifics, but it was definitely historical romance.
Okay.
Like my grandmothers would read historical romance, and then I just like started finding them in stores and like grocery stores. And it was like Joanna Lindsay and Stephanie Lawrence. And I was just accumulating, you know? So yeah, it wasn't until like 50 Shades, I think, that I realized there was even such a thing as like contemporary romance. It was always historical, which I still love. It's still my favorite.
But you don't write any historical.
No, I don't. I would love to. But I just get nervous that, you know, I get something wrong. So I have ideas. I have notebooks of things that I like to write that are historical, but it's not something that I've tackled quite yet.
Right.
So it's just, I feel like it's very different when you're, you know, obviously writing in a time period that's not your own. And then the opposite side of that is I still love to read historical romance, and I feel like it might lose a little something if I tried to write it myself. So,
well, and I've talked to authors who like whatever they write, they read a completely different subgenre. So like some like write in the sci-fi series, but they only read contemporaries, or they write in contemporary and they only read sci-fi. And like there's so many different realms to it, but they don't like, or if they're writing, like they won't read any contemporary because then they get influenced and are like, I don't want something from a book that I'm reading to accidentally slide into my book. So they like, if they're writing a contemporary, then they'll read historicals while they're writing. So they keep that separation.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Like sometimes I'll read some contemporary, but it's never anything like along the same lines as what I'm writing, like for the same reason. It's just like it gets too confusing, like in the brain. Yeah.
So what made you push publish that first time?
So like many of us, I started writing fan fiction. So I wrote Pride and Prejudice fan fiction. And so I was just like, I was looking for something to do in my spare time. And I always loved reading. English was one of my minors. And so I think it was around the time, well, I forget when 50 Shades came out, but this was around like 2015 that I was like, oh, like, I think I read an article that 50 Shades was originally Twilight fan fiction. I'm like, oh, that would be something fun to do. And so I was like, well, I'll write Pride and Prejudice fan fiction. So I started posting, and then I just really enjoyed the feedback that I would get from People on fanfiction.net. I don't even know if AO3 existed then or what. But so I published there, and then like I finished the it was like a trilogy, and I finished the first two books, and I'm like, oh, would you guys like be interested in like buying this, like if it were an actual book? And people were like, yes. And so then it just kind of went from there.
So when you're writing, though, you're a big fan of the alpha hole.
Yes.
What
I
draws you to that type of character?
am. I just like people who need to be redeemed, or people where there's like a internal like tension as well as like an external tension. So like that type of character, and like the I feel like even more so now, like the enemies to lovers trope is just always my favorite to write. I don't know, there's just something about that tension that I feel like is very engaging, and like addictive in the story, at least to me when I'm reading. Whereas other like friends, lovers isn't my favorite. Like I've written it, but and it can be done really well. Like New Girl, like that was incredible. The TV show that like friends to lovers relationship there was.
Yeah, I love New Girl.
But yeah, I don't know why I'm just always drawn to like the tension of like the enemies to lovers and the internal like angst of someone who is fallible and then needs to work their way out of that.
Do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused and productive, like as you're writing? Because I mean, you still work your day job.
I do. So when I am writing, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just like first setting aside the time. So like making sure that I am, when I know that I have a day to write, like I am planned, like I know what I'm going to write and like what I need to accomplish. And then some of the things that I do while I'm writing, I just recently I have like a standing desk and I got a walking pad. So that keeps me going because I'm walking and I'm trying to get my steps in. So I'm not just like sitting all day. So I'll get on that and I'll like put on a playlist, usually just like classical or some type of like focus, like ambiance music, and go.
How do you for your stories, balance the development of the romantic relationship with the overall development of the story as a whole?
I feel like especially in romantic suspense, it gives you like a really good framework for keeping a balance between like story and romance, because you are trying to weave this like, and there are various degrees of romantic suspense, but at least in my books, there's like there is a suspense plot that starts from the very beginning. It's not just like some type of like drama that happens like right near the end. So I'm always trying to weave like that, the progression of that plot with the progression of the characters' relationships, and they're both like coming to a head, at the same kind of at the same time. And so it provides like a nice counterbalance, because you have some like plot points or a chapter or something that's focused on the suspense part of the story and like progressing that forward. And then you get a break from that, and you get like the emotional satisfaction of like a scene with, the characters and like processing their relationship and their interactions and like their responses to, whatever danger or event, just happened. So I feel like it always makes you feel like there's like a good pace, because you've got either action happening or emotion happening that's progressing, both kind of aspects of the story forward.
Now, do you have a favorite hero that you've written?
Oh, man.
Because you have quite a catalog,
I
and you have
do. I
very
do.
different heroes, because you have like your Gentleman's Guild like books, and you
Yeah.
have your snowboard books, and you have your rock country love,
Yes.
not rock country.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You have like a gamut of personalities, a gamut of styles of like heroes, but do you have a favorite?
I know, it's like when people ask me if I have a favorite book. I,
Or do you like this part of this hero, but this
yeah,
part of this one?
there are a few of them that I kind of really love for very different reasons. So I would say like my most popular hero is Ranger, just because he was like very heavily Spencer Reid inspired. And so like I love him because I love Spencer Reid,
I love me
obviously.
some
Like
Ranger.
I love him for that reason. For that like quirkiness like of his character, which was like very challenging for me to write.
But with his character, you wrote him so well. Like you didn't make his quirks like a personality trait. Like they were just who he was. And I thought like the way that you styled him was very interesting. You gave him a voice without like pushing it in a way
Yeah.
that was unnecessary.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was like I said, that was like, I feel like that was he was one of like the harder ones to write because when you do have characters that have like very like distinct and strong personality traits, like like you said, you don't want it to like overwhelm the story in such a way that it like detracts from the story and the relationship itself. So I do love him like that character Ranger for that reason. But I feel like me like my favorite I almost want to say my favorite is probably the hero from my Odyssey duet duology. So yeah, Leo Baudin. He's a art professor, a French art professor. So that was
And
like
somewhat of a
even now people
dick.
ask like what oh who you know who what's your favorite book? And many times I will begrudgingly admit to that. It's like so old now, but I just like that's one of my favorite dynamics, like student professor, forbidden enemies, lovers. That whole thing is
Well,
just
and having that duet, like you spent a lot of time with those characters, and especially like when you kind of like filtered those into like the Odyssey, the tr Fall of Troy, like those ones
yeah.
too. Like, so you had like so many words focused around this world.
Right. So I was with them for a little bit longer than the kind of the rest of my character. So that for sure plays a role too.
So
But yeah.
let's talk The Vow. It was released May 29th, 2025. Tropes are Second Chance, Enemies to Lovers, Slow Burn, and it is Forks Proximity vibes, but definitely like it isn't, but it is at the same
Yeah.
time. But so this is the final book of the Vigilante series, and it is Robin's book, and Robin has been kind of an enigma throughout the series. Like you hear about her, like she pops in, she pops out, like we.
Yeah.
And then we have Damon, who also pops in and pops out throughout the series. And again, somewhat of enigma. But I don't know if I was in my feels, what was going on, but I was tearing up through like half this book. Like there was just something about it that I was like, oh my. Like there's so much feeling coming from both of them that I just really enjoyed these characters a lot.
I told somebody I was at a signing earlier this year, and I told somebody that I as far as like favorite books that I've written go, it was like between that and the Odyssey duet, like just their whole dynamic. And like initially, I wasn't sure, like when I started the series, I wasn't exactly sure where Robin's book and story was going to take me. Like I had a vague idea, and then as I progressed through the series and it like more developed in my mind, I kept their like appearances brief because I knew, like I ended up knowing where this story was going to go, and I knew that there were certain aspects of it that would be like polarizing, or not polarizing, but just,
Well,
you
kind of polarizing.
know, yeah, polarizing for some people. And but I just really wanted to write it and like write all of these like scenes that I had like stashed in my head for so long. And I was like, if I give anybody any more of this, and then like, you know, I start getting like reader theories or wants or wish it, like I'm very much a people pleaser. And it's like, as soon as something slips in the cracks, like then it'll just invade my mind. So I'm like, I have to like protect them so that I can write them the way that I was hoping to.
So for your, when you're writing, do you typically pants or plan?
So I like to think that I plan. I do, like I'm a
Good
very,
in theory, not so much an execution type
well,
of thing.
it never ends up going according to plan. So not never, but like I like to think that I plan. I start, like I have ideas, like major points in the story that I know that I'm heading towards. I will outline like a couple chapters at a time. And I've learned over the years now that characters and things don't always go according to plan. So instead of outlining the entire book and then being very sad when things go off course, I'll outline, and it's not very much. It's like, you know, a short paragraph, like bulleted paragraph of things that are going to happen in each chapter. And I'll do that, maybe like I'll do like three or four chapters. And then as I get partway through those chapters, then I'll do like another or two more, and I'll kind of plan as
In
I
small
go.
snippets.
Yeah,
Well,
just so I can
because
account for like, oh, this changed, and so now this is how we're going to get to the next point.
Well, because this series itself, it's five books, but it does have a really big overarching storyline, and each book like really like is entwined with the next, and like as like they're solving the mystery, so to speak, like you're building on like this culmination that like comes to a head in this final book. Was it more difficult for you to plan like the overarching, because typically your books are fairly standalone.
There was more of that like umbrella element to the series. I feel like once I had the initial like outline for like all of the bad guys essentially that were going to be addressed in all of the books, and like, you know, just like very generally where the series was going to go and who was going to be like at the end. And there wasn't like too much more necessarily that I had to carry through, because I did still want them to truly read as standalones. So I didn't want there to be, you know, too much where they're like hunting one person through all five books. And then it's like, if you didn't read the last one, well, you miss like what they learned. It's like, so that's why there was a separate kind of piece of the villain puzzle for each, you know, each segment, so they could still be picked up more or less on their own. But then, you know, people who did start from the beginning and continue through could still feel like there was a resolution once all of them were kind of brought to justice.
Well, and let me tell you, when I read book four and we get to the end, and I'm spoiling this if you haven't read book like the series yet, because when you read book five, you already know this going into it. But when we found out they were married, holy shit, I was not expecting that. Like, no joke, I was like, oh my God, what happened?
So I didn't That was like one of the things. So I knew from book one that it was going to be Rob and Damon, and I knew that it was their story was going to be like they were going to be forced to work together, and like he was a criminal and she was not. And there were like a whole bunch of ways that I was considering going about that. And then it was probably around like book three that I was like, oh, you know what? I should somehow figure out a way to have them be married because that would be even better. So that was kind of a surprise to me, you know, in my planning stages, that they were, you know, kind of going to be connected forcibly in that manner. So then like having that reveal was like, that was so much fun to write. Even my editor was like, just like head explosion, like emojis when she read it. Because yeah, that
No, that was
was,
a twist that nobody was expecting, but it was a really good one.
I was really excited and to be able to include that. And like I said, it didn't take much. Like I kept mentioning, you know, in the previous books, like she had this ring that she wore and everyone thought it was her parents, and like you know, everyone knew something happened and that like
Well,
she kind of went underground. And
but
yeah.
then there's the moment in the book with the ring, which I'm not going to talk about because I don't want to spoil that, but I was like, "Oh, she's mad."
Yeah, that was there are a few scenes in there like that one, and the moment when she was like, you know, where he's like, oh, you still wear my ring around your neck, and she's like, yes, like an albatross, like I was waiting for so long to write that line.
No, it was a good one. It was a really good one.
Yeah, so there are just like so many, like I had so many scenes that I was so excited to write for that story. And I think that's why I kept, I mean, not only for like the surprise of their relationship, but also just so that I could kind of write it the way that I had envisioned it in my mind is why it was like very like they were only very sporadically seen through the earlier books.
Well, and so the theme through this is all the heroines are pierced, and we come to find out like there's a reason like they all are, which when like we got to this book, I was like, how is she gonna work that in? Because he wasn't part of the like their
Yes.
group in the service and like the reason they
Yeah.
got the piercing. So I was like, ooh, but then like when we got to that part, I was like, oh, that's even more interesting.
Yeah, I was
Your search,
doing
your
research.
Google search is.
Yes, I was doing the infamous Google search on all of these different types of piercings.
Yeah,
And
your
then I came
history
across,
is quite
yeah.
interesting, I'm sure.
And then I came across, you know, purling, and I was like, what is this? Like, I've never read, I mean, I haven't read that many books like with pierced heroes, but
I've never heard of the purling, but I
yes,
was.
like, oh, that's so interesting. And I'm like, I'd love to write that. And it, you know, went with the theme, but at the same time, it was slightly different than the other one, you know, the other four, because obviously that, like you said, he wasn't part of that crew. So it wasn't like a piercing,
Well,
technically.
and like guilt and penance was like a big theme throughout like the whole series. So I thought it worked really well because it was the like his mindset was the same as like all of the other guys, like in the way that he processed things. So I thought that was a really interesting tie-in too.
Yeah, like it's still kind of linked, you know, you still have that running theme through all of them, but slightly, you know, slightly different. But yeah, it was.
So now, were you a fan of the show Blacklist? because it
Yes.
definitely has Blacklist vibes with the way
Yes.
when wasn't he Remington also?
Reddington. Red.
Reddington. Oh yeah, he was
Yes.
Red. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, they called
Wait.
him Red.
Yeah.
Yes, so that was when I first came up with the Vigilante series, and I was like going through the like my just like very basic ideas for all of the books. That was the initial inspiration for Damon
Okay.
and Robin, because I was like, I love that he was like, I mean, obviously in the show it was his daughter, but I just like loved that concept where this like criminal was like, well, I'll help you, but I'll only work with you. And so I was like, I want to use that in a romance rather than in like a family drama type scenario. So that was for sure where that kind of spawned from. And then I even put in the dedication. So like Damon is like, in my mind, he's a love child between Raymond and Neil Caffrey from White Collar. Yeah, so Matt Bomer, they're still like that suave, like gentleman criminal. You know, they
Well, it's
both
like the
wear the
bad guy
fedoras.
doing good type of thing.
Yes. You know, he has to work with I forget what the guy's name is, but the guy who heads up the white collar crimes, you know, he has to work with him. So there's still like that type of like forced relationship. So yeah, both of them, like I said, they were, you know, Damon was like, in my mind, he was like their love child, their fedora wearing love child.
Well, and there's a special scene with his fedoras too,
Yes.
which I did enjoy
Yes.
that one. But that was like
Yes.
almost it was a cathartic scene at the same time for her. Like it was very emotionally like driven, not so much when he saw what happened, but like for her, like the catharsis of like the act was very like fun
Very powerful.
almost.
That was that scene I didn't, that like wasn't in my plan. And that is one of the things, like as I was writing, I was just like, oh, we're gonna do this now. Okay.
I mean,
I
I feel
guess
like
that's how angry we are.
it's not wrong. It's like when like a woman scorned goes out and burns like all of the things. Like it's the same, but not. But it's like two of his favorite things melded together. And I know I'm being vague in the way I say it, but you just gotta read the scene.
You don't want to spoil. Don't want to
Well, and
spoil it.
Damon's one of those characters where like you have like you know you're going to hopefully, well, you don't know you're going to like him. You're hopefully going to like him by the end of the book, but like even as the book progresses, like he's still making such dumbass choices, but he thinks he's doing them for the right reasons, and she just is so mad at him. And I'm like, "Oh, Damon, am I going to like you?" But by the end of the book, I did, 'cause like yes, like he was very wrong in the way he went about things, but like he had the best intentions. And I loved Patrick. Like he was such a great side character.
I loved him too. He was fun. He was fun to write. I liked all the side characters in that. I liked Nona and Damon, or
Well, in this book, like there, it's just such a small snippet too, because we don't get a lot of like the brothers and their like significant others like in this book really at all, which I will say I kind of miss them a little bit, but I don't think it would have worked as well had you had like their outside influences. But so like you kept this book, like it was like Damon and Robert like 90% of the book. Like it just was a very different take on the way that you did it.
Yeah, it was like it was much more nuclear, and I just, you know, as I was like developing the story, it just really was like that's, and again, one of the, again, another reason why, you know, I kind of kept tight lid on their story, just because that was like one of the things where I'm like, I can't bring these other characters in. You know, they want to protect her for like all these different reasons. Like, you know, they have like that same like overprotective vibe. And it's like, I can't have her dealing with them and with him. And there was just so much to unpack with their relationship, you know, and kind of giving like the full breadth of that like how their relationship progressed and their like experiences together, that, you know, even if I did include that, I mean, then the book would have been like twice as long. But
Well,
also it would have, I just think, detracted from,
Well, it's one
you
of
know,
those
where.
things like they've talked about throughout the series how Robin kind of just they never really knew where she was, what she was doing. Like she was kind of off doing her own thing. Like she'd check in and do that type of thing, but like they were used to her disappearing on them for like days or weeks on end. So it wasn't something that was out of character for her either. So I thought that was the thing too. Like you really set her up to be this character who can just go and do her own thing and have this side quest almost, but it's been the like the main focus for her the whole time.
Yeah, it really just felt like for a lot of reasons that the book needed to center around the two of them without the rest of the group kind of
Yeah.
having any
Influence in it.
influence.
So what's next?
What's next? So I'm very excited. I'm starting a new romantic suspense series this year, asterisk. But it is the first book I just finished last
Okay.
week and a half ago. It's called Tracked. And as you know, we've brought up a couple of times in our chat, you know, obviously some of my favorite TV shows always inspire, you know, what I write. And so this series, Tracked, is the first book. It's a six book series following six siblings who were raised in a survivalist family setting in
We've met a
Wyoming.
couple of them.
Yeah, so you met some in the vigilantes. They are the series is going to be set back in Wyoming. So for everyone who loved My Reynolds Protective, like you'll hear some familiar, you know, places and names and things like that. And it's about these siblings who run a retrieval business.
Okay.
Basically, they find missing people. You know, they go after like rewards for missing people or missing artifacts or valuables or things like that. So that
I'm
is,
excited about that. Like I saw the announcement. I was like, I will be 100% on board with all of these choices.
yes. Yes, I am very excited. I have like several things like already outlined for some of the siblings. So we're going to get some disability rep. We're going to get another neurodivergent character. You know, so I feel like, you know, if you're fans of Ranger, you know, they will
Okay.
like him, but he's going to be different. He's not going to be sweet. He's going to be surly.
I like
Kind
a
of like
surly
a,
character, to be
yeah, kind of like
honest.
a surly Sherlock Holmes genius. So, yeah, I'm excited for what I've got in store for this series. But the first book is tentatively coming out at the end of this year.
Okay.
So,
Well,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well,
Thank you.
thank you so much for stopping by the podcast. I'd said that word very weirdly, but thank you for stopping
I'm
by
just
and chatting.
kidding. That's okay. No, I'm very happy to be here. I'm glad we got to talk. This was amazing. I really appreciate
And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
it. Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.